Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Yvonne Pierre Show. Hear from people who have overcome obstacles, have inspirational stories to tell, or helpful information to share.
Our child, and we were to take her home. Remarkable advice for that era when many children with Down syndrome were put in institutions.
I was living for today, not caring about tomorrow.
The Yvonne Pierre Show, living off with people, a variety talk show and giving all the power to the
strength.
How are you?
That was only gonna bring me to my knees. And I turned around, and I remember this 48 years later, of when I turned around and I said to her, no, I can do it. That kind of set the tone to her right from the beginning, that even though I was in a chair, you know, I was still independent. I was still going to do things.
I believe that everything happens for a reason. We are vessels that have the option to allow God to use us.
Make a choice to break the generational curses on our life.
Thank you for tuning in. Now, here is your host, Yvonne Pierre.
Welcome, welcome, and thank you so much for tuning in. We often talk about one or the other, the mind, the body, or the spirit, but in fact, it's all connected. Joining me in this conversation is Dee Dones, an alternative and holistic health advocate, writer, and marketing expert. She is the founder and editor-in-chief of Health Plus Style. Love the concept and love the title. An alternative health lifestyle blog. She is passionate about spreading the philosophy of the mind, body, and spirit connection. Dee is also a published writer and has an extensive background in marketing and enjoys leading workshops, seminars, retreats, and public speaking. Dee is active in charities, including being a board member of the Action Not Words Project. She has conducted poetry workshops, youth poetry workshops, for the Atlanta Writers Club Youth Writing Camp, and is the former co-chair of the Writing in the School program of Georgia Writers, and she's also a dear friend, and I would like to welcome her to the show. Be welcome.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. Yes, we are really good friends. I'm so happy to be on your show.
Thank you so much, and I'm looking forward to this conversation. But before we get started, if you could tell us a little bit about Healthy Plus Style and what inspired you to launch it.
Well, Healthy Plus Style, I just launched it actually a week and a half ago. It is an alternative health lifestyle blog where I talk about many different things that affect people, ways in which to keep healthy without using medicine necessarily. I'm not totally against medicine because I think medicine does have a place, but alternative health for me and what I promote on my blog is about the total connection with the mind, body, and spirit, and that always starts with the first course of action, which is the natural way, because
yeah.
We are physical beings. You know, we also are spirit and body, you know, and soul. So you have to really deal with what the earth provides, the way things are done firsthand, you know, with your diet, your exercise. And so that's what I promote. So I will talk about topics dealing from mental illness, how to deal with that in a natural way, you know, recipes and for healthy eating, as well as herbs that you can take, fitness tips, as well as a lot of things that I would deal with, which I think is the core of any kind of healing. I'll be talking about ways in which to keep your mind right. Get your spirit motivated to be healthy and happy in life. And that's the element that a lot of times people forget about. You can take an herb or take some medicine, but if your spirit is broken, you know, if you need to get motivated in that way, then it will affect your overall healing, and that's really what Health Plus Style is about.
Yeah, and I really love the concept, and I love what you're doing with the website. And as I mentioned in the introduction, and as you just talked about, we often talk about one or the other, the mind, body, or the spirit. What is your philosophy regarding the connection between the mind, body, and spirit?
Well, I think that, you know, like I said earlier, we are physical beings, but the mind is a very powerful thing, and now they do have scientific studies that show that, you know, people that listen to music or people that have friends and family, you know, there where they're receiving their cancer treatments or other treatments for other illnesses, it does affect, you know, the outcome of whatever treatment you're receiving. So I think it's important to remember that whatever you have going on with you, if your mind says you're sick, then you're going to stay sick. If your mind says you're well, then you're going to be better. And so you have to really think about your mind is the most powerful tool in healing yourself.
Yeah.
So say, for instance, you know, I noticed, like, my mother, she recently died of cancer, but you know, when she would say things like, oh, gosh, you know, I feel so sick, or, you know, I don't feel really good, you know, I would tell her jokes, and she would laugh, and then she would tell me she wouldn't feel the pain in her arms or her chest or whatever. And so just talking for 20 minutes, you know, playing some music, laughing, talking to her about different things, that actually helped with her pain. So I know firsthand that even that little snippet of energy I gave her, she forgot about her pain, and that was directly related to her mind not thinking about all the, you know, the chemotherapy and how her body's reacting. It just, you know, got her endorphins going in that way, and that was really helpful to her, even though she did succumb to cancer. But there's so many little different things that affect how we think, and I think everyone, you know, should do this with anyone in your family. Just be positive, say these things to help, you know, get some healing going.
Yeah. And again, sorry for your loss, and but I'm glad that you were able to, even during that time, be conscious of and take something away from, something positive away from what was going on with your mom.
Well, you know, I think that's what you have to do, because you have so many cases of cancer and all sorts of things that are happening with people. You know, you have to think about these things, and it even started before she got her diagnosis. I mean, before all this happened, we kind of jump-started her health routine. She lost like 70 pounds over the last 5 years, and then we would even go to exercise class together at Kaiser. They have free classes there, and so that helped motivate her. And we would, you know, she would, you know, walk around the track. I would go with her, and so me being around her, I would motivate her. And, you know, she stopped smoking, she lost the weight, and, you know, that most definitely helped her, and I always encouraged her to do these things. And so I know for certain, had that not been in place, that she probably would have died quickly, because she was sick for about 3 years. So, you know, you have to think about these things. And then even, and I remember a story towards the tail end before she passed, and we were on the oncology floor, and my brother and I and my daughter, and a man came in there with his mother had just gotten admitted, and he was telling me that, you know, as soon as she got diagnosed, he started giving her juice and said, here, Mom, you know, drink this juice. He was dealing with Juice Plus, I believe, and so they would juice every day. So he was carrying in his hand in the waiting room all this stuff, and that's how the conversation started. I said, what is all this? And he said, oh, we'll be juicing, you know, throughout her time here getting her chemo. And I just thought that was very interesting that he had started this already, and he had carried these things into the oncology ward. And then he says, yeah, and I have these motivational tapes that I'm going to be playing for my mom, and we're going to be singing and doing these different things. And usually when you go in an oncology ward, you don't see anyone doing any of these things. So it was a breath of fresh air, because, you know, I just think that a hospital is a place of healing, and how can you be there and not have those things going on? And
right.
So, you know, you would see people walking around with their IV rolling around, because you would have to walk around if for people that could, you would walk around the circle, I would call it. And people look so, you know, they didn't look happy at all. They looked so upset. Of course, they're getting treatment, but, you know, finally his mother came over. And she was the peppiest thing I've ever seen. She was, like, in her late 70s or whatever. And she was like, oh, hi, I see you're visiting. Look, I can walk. I can do this. And I guess she had trouble walking before. But she was the peppiest, most upbeat cancer patient I've ever seen, you know. And I was like, wow, that's interesting, because I hadn't seen anyone like that the time that my mom was there. But it just made me think of that, you talking about that, how his upbeat attitude and the things that he was doing, that it was helping with his mother's cancer treatments.
Wow. Let's talk. I enjoyed that story. And I strongly believe, too, with what you're saying, that it's all connected, and I've heard also that, you know, depending on the energy that you have during the whether it's whatever the illness is or the sickness
mm-hmm.
is, your outlook on it is some type of energy that you that is healing when you're happy or you're thinking positive, or not just thinking, but feeling positive towards the situation. So thank you for sharing that story. Let's talk a second about the mind and body connection, just those two. Can you share with us some examples, and which you already did, on how our thoughts have an effect on our body?
Well, you hear many philosophers and teachers talk about, you know, you are what you think, because it all starts with the mind. So, you know, sort of like, you know, if you think you can, you can. If you think you can't, you can't. So whatever you think it is, you know, that's what will come into existence. So, you know, I like to think the first step would be meditation. Daily meditation or prayer, and it doesn't make a difference what religious affiliation that you have or if you don't have one, but you have to have some sort of positive reinforcement. So for me, you know, I will get up every day and I will do a meditation. Sometimes I would, you know, do it, you know, inside, you know, I have a little altar and I have a place where I do this, and I'll just think. And what I start with is saying five things that I'm grateful for. Sometimes when people are meditating or praying, they're just like, oh, my God, I have all these problems. They focus in on, please help me or help me out of this. But I start with the five things that I'm grateful for. And then I go from there to ask for forgiveness or assistance in the things that I've done wrong. And then I will pray for people that are close to me and people I don't know, because you have to think outside of your own problems, your own little bubble, and think about the world, because you don't live in the world by yourself. So I do that. And then from there, I'll just let my mind just be blank as possible, because I have a lot of thoughts running around my brain all the time. But I'll just, you know, I will just leave myself open. And then what I like to do, which I think most people do not do, is that you need to go outside and get in touch with the earth. I mean, so like in the summertime, I will go outside and bare feet, and I would just stand on the roots of trees in front of my house. I have, you know, a lot of trees there, and I would touch a tree, and I would just breathe in, breathe out. My cat's walking by. I can feel my cat at my ankles. But, you know, I can just feel the breeze on my face, and I can just really just, you know, sometimes I look into the sky, and then I thank God that, okay, I'm here. I'm experiencing nature, and I'm getting in tune. And a lot of people call it, it's called earthing. But I think getting in touch with your environment will help, too, to really clear your mind. So that's something that I do every day. And then once a week, which a lot of people probably will find it hard to do, but I have a day of quiet. And when I say quiet, I mean, you know, no TV, no computer, no cell phone, no home phone, no anything. And you just sit with in journal, or you can write some things down, and just be quiet and still. And so I think if you do this once a week, it'll help clear space, because a lot of times people are not used to being quiet and still.
Yeah.
And you know me, Yvonne. I'm a very hyper person, but
yeah.
I just, you know. So
yeah.
I just find that really helps me. And, of course, I'm on the computer all the time, so I had to do that to have my quiet time, and it really helps me. So, and then, too, like if I'm not feeling good or something, that's when I pray, and I'll even touch the part of my body that's aching me, and I'll pray and meditate on that. And it'll disappear a lot of times, so... Those are some simple things that anyone can do to kind of help, you know, do the whole, you know, your mind and your spirit. And it has to be an everyday thing because, you know, what you do, what you think every day, that's what you become because then you start speaking it, you start doing it. And it all starts with the thoughts. Thoughts
yeah.
are the ones that really direct your life.
Yeah. Yeah, and I want to add to that, you know, what I normally do it, I need to probably do it more often, but sometimes I go through these spiritual cleansings
mm-hmm.
where I get, you know, no internet, no phone or anything, and I call it shut down, but I normally do it before each project. Subconsciously, I do it before each project, but I need to do it a little more frequent just to be still. But what I will say, the last one that I did, and I just, you know, kind of engulfed myself in inspirational and looking, you know, listening to sermons and reading, and because I just wanted to fill my spirit. And I wanted to be, took that time to be more grateful and to think about what my passion and my, you know, what's my purpose and asking God to show me, you know, where to go forward with whatever project I'm working on. But what I will say about that, when you come out of it, for me, I was much more clear, and I had a better perspective of my life. So I would highly recommend, you know, even if people don't have the time to do it each week, which I think I'm gonna start making time to do it, but we're doing it daily meditations and stuff like that. But it's very, very spiritually rewarding.
Oh, yeah,
I just wanted to add in to that.
Oh, yeah, that's awesome. And you know what you can do, because I know you're very busy, too, is that you can, even if it's just 5 minutes, even if you're driving in your car to your next appointment, you can just pull to the side and just do a quick little, three or four deep breaths, get your mind right. So it doesn't have to be, for me, I will do 30 minutes to an hour each day, but, you know, you can do this throughout the day. It doesn't have to be this, I have to now go meditate. It's a thought process. It's you thinking and talking to yourself, to God, tapping into the higher source. So, you know, that should be going on throughout the day anyway, so that way it's not like, oh, God, I have to do this now.
yeah. It's not a chore.
mm-hmm.
But yeah,
yeah.
incorporating it into your lifestyle. How does what we put in our body and how we treat our body affect our mind?
Oh my gosh, that's a very good question. And a lot of times people do not understand that food is the most prevalent chemical that you put into your body every single day. And people think of chemicals as these toxic things or things that are not food, but food is a chemical, you know?
Yeah.
So the thing is that you be very careful about what you eat, especially if you are a high-stress person or if you have bipolar disorder or some other mental illness, because, you know, there are certain foods that can not be good for you. And a lot of times for people that are mentally ill or experiencing some sort of, like, quote-unquote nervous breakdown, a lot of times it can be traced back to the food and as well as the people that you're around. So what I would say for someone that's going through that, you look to the diet first. And so you need to probably get nutritional testing with a really good dietitian that's working with an integrative medical doctor. And then you can find out if you're low in your B6 or your folate and a lot of things. And like for women, for instance, a lot of women that are depressed, they may be taking birth control pills. Well, birth control pills deplete your B6 and folate, and these are major things that affect your brain functioning. So, you know, when talking about, you know, what should I eat, it's a very individualized thing that each person has to consider. What may work for me may not work for you. But, you know, even if you're not vegetarian, I'll tell anybody you need to eat more plant-based foods. You know, that will help. But if you are having these severe problems, nutritional testing should be done. I would encourage anyone to do that. I mean, even if you don't have a lot of problems, but this will let you know what your body is not receiving, and that way you can adjust your body accordingly, because apart from things going on with your mind, just with your overall health, if you know, okay, well, I need to eat more this, I need more potassium, I need more magnesium, then you won't get sick as much. I mean, I know some people that get colds all the time, and, like, I rarely get colds. I mean, I may get a sinus cold because I have sinus issues, but, like, colds, I don't really get that. So it's probably because I've been, you know, at one point I was a vegetarian for about 5 or 6 years, and I've been taking herbs though forever, most of my life. So I really think that that's the reason why I don't get certain sicknesses, because of the lifestyle. Not that I don't get sick, but I know that, you know, eating properly and most
your
certainly can.
Good.
Oh, yeah, the immune is good, most certainly. And then I can tell even, too, if I'm eating, like I'll have a, you know, a junk food binge for like 2 hours, you know, because I don't have an extremely strict diet, but I can tell the difference. My brain is like, ugh, you know, whatever, I'm all tired, I'm sleggy. And, you know, so I know that firsthand about, you know, what you eat will affect that. So, and I know that for people that have children that have learning disabilities, or they may have been born with certain birth defects, it's especially important for you to be careful with the diet. I know that there are some doctors that are saying, hey, you know, maybe the gluten-free will help some particular kids, as well as maybe some kids adopting more vegetables in the diet, and the kids are acting better. I mean, I don't know if you saw the Food 101 documentary where it was amazing. They took a school that was an alternative school for the kid, the bad kids that had all the behavioral problems, and they were beating up the other kids and maybe hitting the teachers. Well, they changed their diet to a healthier diet. Not only did the kids' behavior get better, but they got good grades. They were able, a lot of them were able to go to regular school just from a change of diet.
Wow.
And so a lot of times, you know, I tell people and parents or whoever, I said, you have to realize that it starts with the food. Your food affects your behavior and all sorts of things. So, anyway, I didn't mean to get all into whatever.
No. It's good information. And I even like with certain disabilities, I saw a story with a guy who his son was having had epilepsy and would go into these seizures, and he was getting all this medication and going to doctor. And, you know, he got to the point where he was having seizures on a regular basis. You know, they had to monitor him 24 hours because he was constantly having seizures. And the father came across this book. And I believe the father was a producer in Hollywood, but he came across this book, and he was frustrated because he had the health insurance, he had the money, but he couldn't help his son. So he I think he went to the library or something like that, and he came across this book about eating for epilepsy, like an epilepsy diet or something like that. So he tried it out. You know, he was like, well, how can it hurt? You know, it can only help. He tried it out, and his son, the seizure stopped, and he was able to get his son off of the medication because just simply changing his diet. So I'm really interested and really conscious more, and I've been trying to pay more attention, you know, to what I'm eating, and because it is certain foods where I get headaches or I'm sluggish or,
mm-hmm.
you know, and different things, and just trying to gradually change, you know, a lot of the things that I eat. But one of the things that I wanted to ask you is how do, you know, is it as simple as just going to the doctor and asking to be tested as far as what, you know, as far as what my body may need more of or
well,
be lacking?
Well, I think that you have to find a holistic doctor, an integrative medical doctor or a naturopath. Mm. I think naturopathic doctors, they're not medical doctors. But doctors do have an ND degree, which is a naturopathic degree, but you have to find a doctor that really is into the whole body. And so usually those particular types of doctors, they will have an on-staff nutritionist or someone they can refer you to that will do nutritional testing. And so, and I just had this conversation with someone from church that was asking the same question about their child that was having behavioral problems. And she noticed, you know, on her own that, oh, you know, just with the food, she noticed differences when certain foods were introduced to her son. And then on top of that, she noticed, too, that when she played music or some other things that, you know, what was going on with her son, I said, well, you need to get nutritional testing. And the son is, like, now, I think, 15, just turned 15. So that's what I would say to anyone. Even if you... You know, your health is pretty good, but you notice a couple of things. I just think it's good. You start off knowing what to give your body. It's like a road map. I mean, how can you get in your car and drive 500 miles and you don't know where you're going? You have to have a map or a nav system.
Right.
So this is the road map to your health, and especially for us, you know, we are very creative people, you and I, Yvonne. So we can't write anything or, you know, you're writing plays and screenplays and things that your brain is out of whack, you know.
Yeah.
We have to, you know how to function properly so we can write these awesome things. So I would always start nutritional testing. So and it may be hard to find a doctor that really shares those ways. But I tell you what, if you have a doctor that doesn't think that way, you're not going to get far. So I know that you can, you know, you can Google some of these doctors, and I know that I know on health, it's a website that kind of Health Grade or something like that where they will list these types of doctors, and this is a rating. But, you know, I wouldn't see a doctor that does not believe in the whole body healing.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it won't work.
Yeah, because they're going to feed you with a lot of medication and not give you the whole scope of, okay, you know, you can eat this or maybe your attitude can, like we were saying, you were saying earlier, how your attitude can affect your health, the stress, worrying, stuff like that can have, you know, a huge impact on your health and stuff as well. How does our energy and our spirit affect both our mind and body?
Oh, you know, it affects everything. You know, energy is affected by the people that you hang around. So a lot of times, you know, especially for women that are stressed out in a bad marriage or relationship, or you're at work and it's horrible at work, and you all know what I'm talking about, some horrible boss or project manager or something, you really have to take yourself out of that equation, because it affects, I mean, I've seen people be like, oh my gosh, you know, my health is so bad, I have high blood pressure, you know, I've got ulcers because I've been at this job. And then, well, I can't quit the job. Well, then you don't want to have good health, because if you're dead or in the hospital from complications of high blood pressure, then you won't be at the job anyway. And so I think that is probably the most hard for people to do. But if you're in those sorts of situations, you have to leave them because that energy from those people, you carry that. So, you know, on a personal level, your friends who you hang around, as you begin to work on yourself and you're meditating and maybe you go to church or you go to a spiritual retreat, you will find that those negative friends will need to be put away in a cupboard somewhere or whatever, but you can't be around the same people. No, it's the truth.
Yeah,
they have
yeah, no, yeah, I agree.
You got to be around like-minded people. And so, and you'll find, too, that once you clean house and get the right people around you, then more opportunities will come to you.
Yeah.
I mean, and you can speak to this. I mean, once you start working on yourself and your thoughts change, you know, your energy changes, and then you start hanging around people that are similar to you in energy, and it, they don't have to be just like you. They can be a different race, totally different occupation, but their energy is
yeah.
good and nurturing, then you will find opportunities for a better job, a new job, a better home, whatever it is. And ultimately, it does affect your health in the most positive of ways.
Yeah, and I was just laughing at the put them in a cupboard, but but
I know,
but
grandma would get them like that cupboard. Who has a cupboard nowadays? That's the only thing I can think of.
I can attest to that, of course. And I think, you know, when you're trying to, you know, live a more improved life and have more energy and be positive, and it's kind of like defeating the purpose if you're surrounded by negativity, because you know, because it takes away. It's like I heard somebody say, it's like somebody just, you know, how you get those phone calls, and after you get off the phone, it feel like somebody just pulled the plug in the tub and just drained all your energy by the time you get off the phone. And there's some people that we can't get away from, but there's ways that we can deal with them on a different, you know, we don't have to subject ourselves to the negativity every day, all day. And then as far as the job, you know, we're not suggesting that you quit today, but find a way, plan on how you're going to leave and how you're going to, you know, put yourself in a more positive environment. And, you know, and I like how you said that, you know, even if you, you know, a lot of people say, well, I can't do this or I can't do that. Well, if you don't change something, like Maya Angelou will say, if you can't change the situation, then you have to change the way you look at it. But if you don't do something, then it's going to affect everything, and you will be in a position where you won't be able to work because of your health. So thank you for that. And I want to touch on, and you pretty much touched on it throughout the conversation, how do we feed our mind, body, and spirit for a healthier life?
Oh, yeah. So, you know, like you said, I've been talking about this throughout the conversation. But like I said, you start off with getting in touch with yourself. And that could be anything from maybe getting out of a bad marriage or changing jobs. But really, it's about changing the way you deal with things and changing your priorities. It could be something as simple as you have this job and it's paying, like, you know, $100,000 a year, but you're totally unhealthy since you've been working that job. Well, maybe you need to lower your expectation of what it is to live comfortably. Maybe, you know, you don't need to have the three cars and the big house or whatever, and maybe you will find better fulfillment overall by living simply in a smaller house, spending more time with your children, and not just being, you know, just jumping around all the time. So you have to remember that you can't live someone else's life. You can only live
yeah.
your life. So
yeah.
if you think the $100,000 a year job is worth it, then stay there. But nothing is worth your health. So that's what I would say. I mean, and it could be something as simple as opposed to you having this job where you're 60 hours a week. Why don't you contract out for like 2 months at a time and then work a part-time job? And so this is a conscious choice that you make so that way that your life is better. So
yeah.
these are like simple things that you can do. I mean, because a lot of times people say, well, how did you do this? But these are the things that you start with. So you write these things down. So when you're meditating, you're thinking about these things, write these things down, you know, have some steps. Okay, the first step is this. The second step is to define some, a way to contract. And there are so many things you can do through LinkedIn and other, people that you network with to do that. And so the second thing that you can do is group meditation, prayer, church. Go to find some group where you have people that are like-minded and they want to help you and you're helping them, because I think that collective energy is really good for that. Like when you and I talk fun, we're talking about positive things, you know. Have lunch with these, you know, a group of girlfriends, a group of people that help fortify your spirit. That is always a good thing for jump-starting some change. And remember that if you cannot change your situation immediately, then you are going to have to change how you deal with it, how you react to the situation. And, of course, that's so hard, because when someone's, you know, ticking you off at work, you may want to curse them out, or someone's irritating you, you know, even if it's a spouse that, oh, gosh, you all don't see eye to eye on anything, you have to live with that person. So figure out a way to communicate differently. And change you. It could be how you are reacting to how people are dealing with you. The only thing you can change is your own behavior. And a lot of times when people see that you're changing, you're talking to them differently, you're reacting differently, they will adjust themselves accordingly. So, sometimes, if you're used to bickering with someone, just stop bickering. Stop bickering, just look at them, nod your head, maybe give them a hug. You know, and people are like, well, I can't give my boss a hug. Yeah, you can. Just, nod accordingly, smile, and say, you know what, okay, and just give them a hug or pat them on the back. They may not want to be touched, but you get the idea. But you have to start with you to make the change that you want to see. And then from there, you work on trying to get out of the situation.
Yeah. Or if it's something, if the relationship, because the relationships take work. As far as, your significant other, if they, are having it, trying to make it better, try to make the relationship better. And like you said, you have to start with yourself first and learning how to, for example, not wanting to, not having to be right, completely mm-hmm. changed my life. completely, because it's like, when you're in conversation and you want to be right or you want to be heard, and for whatever childhood scar reason, you tend to over-explain, you tend to feel guilty if you say no. I mean, just so many different, getting to the root cause or the root of why you deal with things the way you do and altering it can really, really make a huge difference. And like I was saying, as far as having to be right, once I stopped feeling like I had to be right or had anything to prove, the conversations went a lot shorter. And less stress, because it was like, okay, you can have that. If they're trying to do whatever, make you feel a certain way, it's like, okay, I'll give you that, and not feeling the need to over-explain why you should not be, doing this or that, if that make any sense. But, yeah, just getting to the point of you're okay with who you are and at peace with who you are would change a lot of conversations.
Oh, yeah, and I think, too, another thing, and it's interesting you're talking about the conversations. I think sometimes people forget that you can disagree and you can voice your opinion and still be loving or still be okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I can
say
to someone, I really don't want to do that. I don't really like that or whatever. And it doesn't have to be a bone of contention. It has to be a falling out. And sometimes within family situations, because you're sick and tired of someone doing something the same way and they get on your doggone nerves, and you know how that can be. But you have to realize that you can have a disagreement without just saying the hell with you, because it's destructive, and that anger, you simply direct it to yourself. And you end up suffering worse than anyone else. So, you know, and sometimes I find that a lot of women, we don't know how, we think that to disagree means that the person will not like us anymore or they will reject us. But, you know, you can say, you know, hey, honey, you know, I really don't want to do that. You know, your mother really is critical of me. I don't want to go there this Christmas and be subjected to that. Can we just do start a new tradition of doing Christmas here? And can you set up some rules that your, if your mom comes over to our house, you know, that she would be respectful or else you can't be invited? You can say this. Now, your husband may not like it, but you have to be able to say something and get it off your chest and not hold these things, because holding these negative thoughts, that can make you sick too. You know, you got to be able to say it in a loving way. And even if the person says, no, that's not going to work, we're going to do it my way, at least you said it, and then you just go on from there. But you have to say these things and know that things can be said in a constructive and loving way, and you can still be okay as your person, you know.
Yeah, and you said a lot of very good encouraging words throughout the entire interview or conversation, as I like to call it. But before we go, I would like you to leave us with some encouraging words. Yeah, if you could leave us with some encouraging words.
Oh, wow. Well, I would say that I was at the turning point in my life where I know that things were much better for me and I was growing spiritually as an individual was to learn how to forgive. Forgiveness is probably one of the best ways that you can heal yourself spiritually as well as physically. And forgiveness is something that is not a one-time thing. It is really a way of being. If you walk around in the spirit of that you will be forgiving and loving, because forgiveness really is the highest form of love, then your life will change completely. And I can just say that me personally, once I learned that, then things just got so much better for me in my spiritual development. Of course, you always are developing throughout your life. You're never just through with learning. You know, if you are, then you haven't got any sense in your head. But I would say that would be the best advice I can give anyone. And once you do that, because if you can't forgive other people, then who will forgive you? I mean, we're so flawed. We do all kind of things, but forgiveness actually gives you the opportunity to look to yourself and realize the flaws that you have and how fortunate you have to have people that forgive you. And so, like I said, it is a daily, moment-to-moment practice, and it's very hard, as you know. But I find that doing that, that's a lot of work. That's a lot of work, but it's so rewarding for yourself. I encourage anyone and everyone to do that. I don't care if it's the mother that you say you hate. You don't really hate her. There's things that she's done. It'd be horrible things, but you can't really hate her because you came from her. If it's the abusive spouse or someone like that, if it's the boss you think that should be run over by a car, or you may be frustrated with your children, you know, maybe listen, really listen and see, well, what's going on with your child or your spouse or your friend. But that's really, I would say, that's when I really began to see the change within myself. And you don't have to beat yourself up so much. Once you start forgiving, you're not so hard on yourself.
Yeah.
You look at yourself differently. Yeah. You're like, wow, yes, I am beautiful. I am great. I can do all these things. So it is a mindset that I talk about all the time because I know how beneficial it's been to me, and I know that anyone that I know that has that forgiveness spirit, they're just so full of love, and that just makes me happy to see people really living in love and forgiveness.
Yeah. Yeah, and I want to say, too, you know, that a lot of people fear forgiving, you know, fear forgiving the other person because they feel like that's giving them the right to do or saying that it's okay what they did, and that's in fact not what that's implying, and not even implying that, you know, let's say for example, if a friend betrayed you, it's not saying that you continue to be friends. You don't have to be friends, but not carrying that bitterness or that anger in your heart and forgiving the situation. And even if you choose to move on without the person, but learning to let that go so you can be free of it and not carrying it, because I believe, and I'm sure you do too, that holding on to any type of anger or bitterness towards another person also, like you said, is not living in love, and also it's blocking your blessings. You block your blessings by holding on to anger, and there's a quote, and I can't remember it verbatim, but it says something like being angry with somebody is like holding gasoline in your mouth or poison in your mouth, you know, hoping that you'll hurt the other person, but you're poisoning yourself. So,
I think I read that quote somewhere too. That's a very good quote. That's a very good, and you know, the thing is that when you are forgiving someone, it is a learning tool, because I'm telling you, when you look at other people, you are a piece of that person. And a lot of times what makes you angry is that this person reminds you a bit of yourself, even if you're not that way now, is something that you can relate to from the past or something. So a lot of times people say, well, no, this person is not me at all, but we all are connected. So, and, you know, even something as serious as looking at a murderer or whatever, I've seen, and I don't know if you saw this clip where, I don't know if it was the Green River Killer or somebody, but one of the parents stood up, and this person killed their only child. And so they looked at the Green River Killer, and mind you, other parents had stood up there, and they were all like, you know, you go to hell, we hate you. But this person actually looked at the killer and said, you know what, I forgive you. And you could just see the killer's face in court just look totally different. He looked affected because no one else was saying that. And they said, I pray for you because, you know, this almost destroyed my marriage, what they were saying. But because I had to learn how to get through this hurt and pain, I had to learn to forgive myself, forgive my spouse, and I had to forgive you, because I'm not going to let my life just be torn apart by anger, by something that you did. So I forgive you. And the whole court was still. But it made sense because, you know, you can't change what has happened. And, of course, that's extremely hard. I mean, of course, the first thing you want to do is be like, oh, I'm going to kill this person that killed my child. But, you know, you have to look at anyone as that person that just fell by the wayside. They're someone's parent. You know, they are someone's sister. And you have to look at them with that type of love, which is extremely hard. But it makes it so much easier for you, and it's a learning tool because, you know, there's no piece of paper that says these are the people that around you that will live for this period of time, or you won't die at any given time. But if you live your life in this thinking that everyone is a piece of you, then it's much easier to forgive.
Yeah, and for me, what helped with forgiveness was to realize that, you know, we're all human, we're all flawed, and that, you know, something damaged this person. Something, this person wasn't born like that. Something in their life made them this way. And I pray that they find peace. You know, I pray that, you know, like if somebody betray me or whatever, it's not right then. It takes some time, but I do get to the place where I don't want to carry this anymore, and I have to, you know, forgive them so I can move on. And I look at it, depending on the situation, I'll say for the most part, I look at it like it wasn't personal toward me because they're damaged. And I've heard a quote years ago that the wounded wounds, and, you know, people that have dealt with different things in their lives, how we perceive our lives, how we look at our lives is how we deal with others, and how we our perceptions and our, like we were talking about, our energies and all that stuff. It, you know, it's a matter of reconditioning our minds. There's some things that for me that stem from you know, stuff that was embedded in me in childhood that I had to detox from and recondition
love
the way
that
I
word,
see.
Detox. Yes, love it. Love that word.
And but, you know, we just have to, and you have to have the desire, you know, you have to have the desire to want to live a better life, and life is so fragile. It's so fragile, and when we deal with loved ones passing on and stuff, it really put us in a different perspective, hopefully, of life and realizing how fragile it is, and we all have such a divine purpose, and you, and pulling it all together, our mind, body, and spirit. And so I want to thank you, Dee, for this conversation. I think it was very much needed and necessary. You shared a lot of great information. But before, if you can really quick share with the listeners where they can go to connect with you.
Yes, go to Health Plus Style, Health Plus Style, HealthPlusStyle, how do you, I think that's how you spell it, HealthPlusStyle.com. And feel free to post any questions, and I would love to have great conversation about overall health for mind, body, and spirit.
Thank you, Dee. I wish
you
continued.
Thank you so much. I enjoyed the conversation.
I wish you continued success with your current and future endeavors, and thank you so much for joining us, and happy holidays to you.
Same to you.
Thank you.
I was meant to fly. Oh, no matter who pushes me, I know I'm not gonna let you. I'm not gonna let you get me down. No, no, no.
Thank you so much for tuning in today. It has been an absolute pleasure, and I thank you for choosing this time to spend with me, your host, Yvonne Pierre. For more information about the show, how to be a guest, or to simply let me know what you think about today's show or previous shows, visit me at ypierre.com. That's www.ypierre.com. Remember to keep God first. Know that you are blessed, and always stay true to yourself. I love you, God loves you, and thank you for listening.
Bye.